are grateful for your salvation. We're grateful for your church. And Father, I pray this, that we have all the care and compassion towards those that have been under discipline or are under discipline of this church, Lord. It is our desire, our deep desire to see, Lord, the Holy Spirit convict, to see them restored to us. Lord, we love our folks. We love those that have come and gone. And I pray, Father, that you work hard in their hearts, Lord, to make them right with you. Lord, be with us now. Help us to lay this business aside that we may focus purely and solely upon your word. That, Father, our lives may match what it is you have expectations of. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1 says, And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the fields. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. We see his desire was to get out. Let's go back to the text for our series, 2 Corinthians 7:11. "For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a good godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." The whole purpose of this series is to look at what happens after conviction has hit our hearts. Many of us, we will sit in church, we will sit next to our Bibles, we will feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we will know that we are doing wrong, and we will have a desire to change. We've all felt that, haven't we? A desire to do differently. But there's a difference between a desire and a vehement desire. Joseph had not just a desire to do right by God, but a vehement desire. He had passion and strength and all the weight of his belief behind his desire. "I am going to get this done." Many of us, we wake up with plans, don't we? I wake up with plans all the time, and I often find it is cute to decide to have plans. They do not always go the way that you want. I've gotten all the way to the first thing that I was going to do, and that was the only thing I got done that day. Why? Because, while I was doing that broke. And then when I went to go fix that, another thing broke. And then by the time I got the project all said and done with, I had to take it apart to put it back properly, now knowing all the different things I had to fix. Right? So at least I got the first thing done. That's why you always pick the most complicated and the heaviest thing to do first, right? Get that out of the way, because that might take all day. But we have plans. We have desires. They don't always pull out. But what does matter? The amount of weight that we put behind those desires. There's a lot of things I would like to do. I had a goal at one time or another in my life to run a full marathon. Got all the way up to where I ran a half marathon. Guess what? That little spot that I had on my wall for that full marathon medal never got filled. We moved twice, and I got further from the goal, right? What happened? You had a desire, but it was not vehement. You didn't put enough behind it. Oh, I'd like one day to do this and do that, but we never put any goals. We never put any plans. My desire is to get this sin out of my life, but we never address what's bringing the sin in. We never address the sin that's coming. We never fix any of the things. We've got water in the boat. We'd like to take the water out of the boat. We understand that you should take the water out of the boat, and one day we'll get to it, right? I'll get that sin out eventually, just not today. We'll wait a little bit. Let me come around the bend. Let me find a sunnier path. Let me find something, a place where I think it would be easier, and we continue to take on sin, and sin does what it does, and it capsizes our lives. What we need to do instead is do something about our desires. Have something passionate about it. Let's take a look at Joseph here. Joseph had a desire to please Potiphar. Joseph had a desire to please God. Both of those desires were vehement desires. Well, brother, how do you know? Because when she grabbed a hold of him, he shook out of that garment and ran. He did not make an excuse. He did not make pleadings and beggings. He didn't try to logic his way into something that he wanted. Well, hey, my master, he owes it to me because I take care of all of his stuff. The guy doesn't even know how much money he has, right? All he knows is that when he sits down to bread, he's got it, right? I could do this and nobody would know. And those that wouldn't know, it wouldn't matter. That's how some of us, we live our lives. Oh, God knows. But anybody who could make me uncomfortable right now will never find out about it. God should make you uncomfortable right now. Joseph could have made 1,000 things. Don't you understand? I struggle with this because my brother sold me into slavery. Anybody here, you ever been sold into slavery? I mean, we got issues in our family. You know, my brother and I, we don't always get along. You put us in the back seat of a car, you will have to pull over. But we've never gotten to the point in our lives where he sold me into slavery. I've come close a couple times, but he's been good, right? So we think about that. You know, well, I've been sold into slavery, and I had such a hard life, and now here I am, an Egyptian slave, and that's no good, and I don't like that at all. And of course, now I've been bought by a guy, and he's got me running all of his stuff. I'm making most of the decisions in this place. He don't know nothing about anything that goes on. I should do this. That's not what he thought. He knew it honored God, and he put everything behind it. Well, if I don't do what she wants, she could make my job difficult. Yeah, but if you don't do what God wants, he can make all your life difficult. You got to weigh it into the proper perspective. Doesn't matter what man can do to you. It says, fear not the people that can hurt the flesh. Who should we be afraid of? The one who can destroy both body and spirit. I don't want to mess with him. So if Potiphar's wife gets mad, let Potiphar's wife get mad. If everybody in the house is making fun of me for not taking advantage of a situation, let them tell their jokes. But I'm going to honor God. I'm going to stand by him. You see, what we see here is a forcefulness behind the desire. A forcefulness. We do all sorts of cute things to make sure that we get our goals done right. We take our Bibles. And I say cute, I'm not trying to put it down. You should do these things. But all right, to remember to put my read my Bible every morning, I'm going to put it on the breakfast table. So when I go to get my coffee and my toast and I sit down, my Bible's already sitting right there. So there's no excuses. There it is. We do that, right? That's good. That's planning. I'm going to get up and I'm going to exercise. I'm going to take my exercise clothes. I'm going to lay them out the night before. Same thing with church. I'm going to make sure that nothing hinders me from getting to church on Sunday morning. So I'm going to lay all my stuff out the night before. I used to do that when I was a teenager. I would lay all my clothes out on a Saturday afternoon before I'd go and spend time with my friends or whatever I would do. But then I would always move this stuff again when I'd go to lay down because I always put it on my bed. And it'd be wrinkled. I'd be losing it. I lost a sock or something like that. No, we put things in place to make sure that the decisions we make, our desires, get met. And we learn 100 tricks, and those tricks are important. You should do them. But you cannot do a thing without a little bit of conviction behind it, without a little bit of strength, without a little bit of forcefulness behind it. You will always hit the snooze button until you start to hate hitting the snooze button. You've got to force yourself. I'm not hitting the snooze button. I'm getting up. I've got this thing on my phone. I know some of you guys just wake up like that. Some mornings I'm like that. I'm up. But some mornings it'll take a little bit. I've got this thing on my phone. The phone, when I first downloaded it, you could go set a barcode in the house. I took it was just a UPC off of a snack. And I took the UPC off out of it was a cardboard box, took the UPC off, scanned it into that app. And then I took that app and I put it in the stairwell going down from the upstairs to the downstairs of our house in Southgate. So I would put it there and I would have to get out of bed, grab the phone, walk all halfway down the stairs to scan that thing to get the alarm to stop. Previously, I had it set to where I'd have to solve math problems. But as I've told you before, I'm not good at that awake 2 cups of coffee in, right? So early in the morning, not the best. So beep, beep, beep. It's hard to sleep. You couldn't turn the phone off. You couldn't stop the app. You couldn't delete the app. It is noise. One time I forgot about this thing to turn the alarm off. I was at a hotel. It started going off. And I was states away from that UPC. I had to take the battery out of the phone just to get some quiet. Like, oh no, I messed up. But now we put things into place to make sure we do the desire. You got to force yourself to, if you got to force yourself to get up, force yourself to get up. It's just you. You're not inconveniencing anybody. It's you. You're not trying to convince anybody or just trying to, get things going. We were walking into the store, and it was one of the rare times the whole family went into the store. And every time we do that, and I do, wow, you guys got your hands full. Woo, look at this crowd. And, you know, they make comments like that. And so we, wow, to get out of the house, what does that take? You know, if it's just you, what does it matter? You ain't got to trail a bunch of people with you. You don't got to convince an entire generation. You don't got to sit there and get a whole group of people going. You just got to force you to make the decision. We need some forcefulness in our lives. Some, not just momentum, but the desire to kick off and to push ourselves, to get ourselves going. Most of the time when conviction hits us, it's because we have already experienced failure. Well, you ought to do this. Well, you should not have done that. Right? So we fall into these things where we have failure. What is going to get you out of failure? You got to force your way out. You got to force yourself to get down on your knees. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, help me. You've got to force whatever failure's going on out of your life. Throw things away. Get away from things. Get away from the people that are causing the trouble. You've got to force those things out. Those things will not come gently. They do not pass gently. It is always a force. It is always a fight. It is always a struggle, and you need to be prepared to struggle with it. It's much like getting up. Last night I sat down after I went home, belly full of food. You know what I'm talking about. You go to stand up after a day like that. Now I've been running all day, doing this, doing that. Then you go and you eat too much. And then you go to sit down and no part of your body wants to move. But you can't sleep in the chair. You already learned that lesson, right? Can't sleep where you are. You got to go to bed. See? Yeah. And for some of you, I don't have to do it yet, but for some of you, you got to take a couple attempts at getting up, don't you? Force yourself up. Get up out of this chair. It takes effort to go from sitting to standing. It takes effort to go from falling down, laying flat on your face, to standing back up. You got to force yourself. You got to push. Well, I don't like it. It's not comfortable. Why should I have to change my life? Because God has told you that what you are currently doing is unacceptable to Him. He does not care if it's acceptable to you. He does not care if it's acceptable to the people you run with. To Him, it is unacceptable. That is why you are under conviction for change. We've got to put some effort into it. We've got to put some work. So we've got to push past the failure. Another trap that we fall into is excuses. We have to push past excuses. You know what the difference is between an excuse and an obstacle? An excuse is a reason to quit when you find an obstacle and all of a sudden you quit. All of a sudden that obstacle becomes an excuse. But if I make an effort to climb over this thing, now it's just a good old-fashioned obstacle. Now it's just a good old-fashioned thing, an easy thing for us to get past. And maybe it was more difficult, maybe it was easy. But we need to be able to push into the obstacles. Hey, if I make this change in my life, people are going to notice and it's going to make me uncomfortable. You got to push past that. Hey, if I do this, I'm going to feel bad for a few days that I don't have this anymore. You got to push past those 2 days. 2 days really isn't a long time when you consider getting sin out of your life. 2 days really isn't a hard time when you talk about obedience to the Lord. It's not a long time. You're going to live those 2 days anyway. There's going to be days in your life where you're going to struggle physically anyway. I might as well struggle physically for the Lord. Well, I'll get a headache. Well, my body will do this. You know what? That's fine. You'll come out better. And a lot of times during those decisions that we make for the Lord, He gives extra grace and strength to just to get us past it. Well, brother, how do you know that? Well, let's look at our friend Joseph here. Let's not forget him in all my rambling. Joseph was a man. And that's what a lot of people would say, well, men can't help themselves. Men, yes, we can. And we need to, right? It is a shame on us when we don't. Well, I wouldn't say any other, but there's many a man who would have loved to have been in Joseph's position. I don't know all what they had, but I could imagine the guy working the horses or the camels or whatever they had was sitting there going, well, I tell you what, if she made a pass at me like that, I know exactly what I would do. And you see the guy who sits there and he's building on stuff and he's working the fields. Well, man, if I was Joseph, I'll tell you right now. We push past that nonsense. Because we're stronger, we're better, well, at least we ought to be. Sense of morality, sense of purpose to ourselves. We also need to push past the distractions. Push past the distractions. We see a thing that looks good. We grab at it. We become like dogs. You know, I love my buddy Hans, but he's been inside a little bit too much the last few weeks because of the cold. Bless his little heart. All of a sudden, I mean, it used to be he wants the ball. You got the ball? All right, let's go outside with the ball. I want to go outside with the ball. He still wants to go outside with the ball, but it's hard to get him out there because he starts to shiver, and he ain't got no sense to him. He will freeze to death chasing the ball. So we bring him in, and all of a sudden he'll go for Lego blocks and Lincoln Logs. He'll start chewing on things that aren't toys. Well, here's the thing. Danielle's a veterinary technician. I was a dog trainer for a while. We know what happened. She has seen the x-rays. I worked in operations trying to pull objects out of dogs that should not be in dogs. He's distractible. What's that? Okay, I'm going to eat it. What's this? Okay, it's mine. Xander came home from the party with a football. He has no understanding whatsoever in his little dog mind that that's not for him. We're more better than that, aren't we? Hey, come lie with me. No. A lot of people. Ooh, all right. If it would help. If you say so. No. No, I'm better than that. You see, when we get trapped into the idea of can't, everything seems 1,000 times better. New Year's Eve hits, you've got a New Year's resolution, you're going to lose a little weight. I can't have this, I can't have that, I can't have this. Day four, what do you want more than anything else on earth? Those things you don't, well, you can't have. We need to think differently. It's not about can't have it. I won't have it. I refuse it. That's better. Decision is what? A desire is, I won't have it. A desire, a vehement desire, I'm not having it. I'll be far from it. I don't want anything to do with it. Right? I'm not going to watch sin on the television. I'm not going to watch sin in a movie. I'm not going to listen to sin. I'm not going to be around those that glorify sin. I'm not going to give my ears, my heart, my mind, my eyes to this weird understanding out here among people. I won't have it. And when everybody thinks you're so weird, I want you to think about Potiphar's wife. It doesn't seem weird to us that he wouldn't touch her. It shouldn't seem weird to us. When we sit there and we see things designed to confuse and alienate people from God, and we refuse to touch it, we should encourage that. Well, why don't you want to go do this? Well, do you see what goes on there? Well, yeah, but I'm saying you got to go participate in it. No, I refuse to be around it. Because I don't know. I told somebody one time, they invited me somewhere. I go, no, I can't go. Why? There's drinking there. Well, yeah, but you, come on, man. I know you. You're not going to go drink. Come on, man. I know you. You'd be in there. You'd be the last one drinking. You wouldn't do it. No, I don't want to be around that temptation. Well, have you given up drinking before? No, but I don't want to. I don't want to know what it's like to give up smoking. I don't want to know what it's like to give up drinking. Some of you, you've done that, and praise the Lord, he gave you strength. I got a question. What if I get into it, and he lets me die there? He'd be more than just to do so. I ain't playing with it. Well, I can watch that. I don't have issues with this. I don't have any, I'm a big enough person not to start using foul language or become desensitized to certain sins. That would never happen to me. You don't know. You have no idea. Do you think people that do some of the awful sins we see today, some of the people that are in jail started off as young people going, you know what, one day I'm going to be incarcerated for murder? They didn't know. We don't know. We don't play games. We handle our anger fast. We kill gossip where it sits. We make sure that we live a clean and separated life. Because I don't want any of that leaven coming over here. Because once it gets in, there's no getting its effects back out. There's no fixing it. There's forgiveness, but sin does what sin does. We need to be forceful. Push past the distractions, run them past them, have nothing to do with them. We also not only need to be forceful, we need to be passionate. Verse 10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. He was very passionate about this decision and that he kept doing making that decision. Joseph! No. Joseph! No. Now, what about today, Joseph? Come on. You know who? Come on. No. Day by day by day. Listen, I can't sit there. I've heard people, I'll just cut to it. I've heard people talk about the drinking and smoking and things like that. Listen, I don't know how long I can do this. But for the next hour, I'm not doing it. All right, good. I made that hour. We're going to go another hour. We're going to go another day. I bet I can do another day of hour by hour. Another week. Another month. Now, I've told this story. I've never known my dad to not have a beer in his hand. He hasn't touched one in a year. Hasn't touched one in a year. If that's something that somebody can do, don't you think the Lord could help you in almost anything? If that's just something a person can do, my dad makes no profession of salvation. But if that's just something a person can do, what can God help you get over? What passion can we put into our decisions? I'm so passionate. If I've got to make the same decision 45 times today, I'm making that decision 45 times today to honor God, to honor my promises, to honor what it is that I have to say. In our passion, we need to be purposeful in the things that we do. We set goals for things. All right. Here's the thing. In order for me to make sure that temptation don't come back, I ask God to forgive me. I repented of it. But for this repentance thing where I don't go back to it, here's the goal. I don't go by that area. I don't hang around these people. These are the goals. I'm going to keep myself clean in this way. You better set them. Why? Because you won't fall into them accidentally. You won't fall into them accidentally. Sometimes when God forgives us, He takes away the desire of a thing. Sometimes He leaves the desire for us to wrestle with to make us stronger. We're talking about that on Sunday morning, Sunday school, right? That's part of it. Sometimes it's part of the workload and it creates a little bit of stress. We got to handle it. We got to handle it. We got to do right by it. We got to have goals. We've got to learn about things. Hey, why does the Bible say this is wrong? Hey, Pastor, every time you've preached on that, every time you said something about that, I wasn't quite sure if I could take that seriously. Can you tell me a little bit more? Because I'm starting to struggle here with this thing. Tell me more why watching that's bad. Tell me more why hanging around these kind of people is a wrong thing for me. Tell me. And I go, okay, well, here. Here's some verses. Tell me about my anger. Tell me about my sorrow. Tell me about all these things that I've got worked into my life that I need to work my way on out of. How do I do it? We need to learn. And there is no better teacher on earth than the Holy Scriptures themselves. You see, this book is not just a collection of poems and stories. Within the words, within the instructions, within the examples is all the things of life. All we need to do is to look at it. See what God blessed. See what God condemned. See what God punished. And I tell you what, we'll find an answer for everything we come across. It has never failed. This word, just as God has never failed me in my life, this word has never failed to produce an answer that I have needed. Again, not a magic fix, not a silver bullet to stop every monster to come to my door, but it has given me knowledge. And through knowledge, we practice the knowledge and we gain wisdom. And through an abundance of wisdom, we develop discernment. And that is what we must do. We must give ourselves to that. In our passion, we must also remove hindrances. I would dare say, oh, Joseph, if you had a choice, and I don't think Joseph did. Joseph, if you had a choice, I would get out of that employment. I would. I was reading through a book one time, and it was talking about pastoral counseling. And there was a guy who was having not a physical relationship, but just an inappropriate relationship, inappropriate friendship with flirting and whatever, with some girl at the office. And of course, that was an issue, and it goes through, and you get verses and things to kind of talk to it. But to sum it up, here's what the pastor told the young man. Quit. What? Get another job. Go out, find you another job. Well, why? Because that temptation isn't going to go away. Well, I'm not ever going to do anything. You don't know. Remove the hindrances. Remove the hindrances. Right? If we've got a problem, we wouldn't want to bring more in. If I was, if you had rats in your house and you went to the pet store and you bought a couple more rats, you know what I'm saying? Like, that sounds ridiculous because it is ridiculous, and it's what we do with our sin. Well, no, these are pets. They won't do what these guys are doing. It doesn't matter. If you've got a sin nature, you've got a problem. And as a matter of fact, if you've got a sin nature, you've got the potential for every problem. You need to cut down what has access to you. You need to put, well, I don't want to live my life so restricted just because you told me to do that. No, you need to get on your knees before God and tell Him you're not going to do this thing. That is what it is. You are not giving up your freedom. You are restricting the things that have freedom with you. Because we allow too much into our lives. too much temptation. We need to remove the hindrances. Things that are dulling and preventing our obedience. Things that are dulling and preventing our passion to serve the Lord. And there are things that do that. They creep in. Sometimes they're not even bad things. It's just an overabundance of a thing that's just pulling away from time spent with God. Things that are pulling or distracting us away from church, or pulling or distracting us away from the reading of the Word and prayer time, and it's just pulling us away. And guess what? Those things that monopolize our time, they kill your passion to serve the Lord. I mean, if we're building a, I don't know about you, but when I go camping, I like a big campfire. You like a big campfire? I like my fireplace. I've got to be, there's that inner child. I got to go tell him to sit down with the other kids when I build the fires, build it respectfully. But when I'm out in the woods, man, you'll see it from space. You know what I do? And I know how to do it too, because I grew up building fires. And that's what you did when you went camping. Every night we had a fire and we'd spend a few hours a day going out. We'd get the wood. We'd have to get hey, this is dry. This is wet. We'd get all the dry wood we could. And then if we had extra time, we'd go out and get some damp stuff. And we got clever and we'd wrap it up. And one time we thought we would be funny and we would put the wet wood next to the fire. And then we got in trouble for that business. you make purposeful decisions. Okay, we do this, we do this, we do this. Don't put a handful of wet leaves on there, right? Don't kick dirt into the fire. Don't do those things. But sure enough, you'd get that one kid, grab himself a handful of wet leaves, and throw it on the fire thinking he was doing something good. And what would it do? Well, those wet leaves would do what? They'd kill the fire. Your sin is killing the fire, your passion for serving the Lord. Your distractions are killing the fire of the passion that you have for obeying God. We need to be careful with what we're putting into our lives, because what we put into our lives fuels our service to Him, fuels everything. Right? And we understand this. We know that the things that we bring into our mind affects our thinking. We know the things that we put into our body affects the way that it works. This is very simple stuff. But we need to act as though we understand it. We need to get it. I was watching I don't think it was a cooking show. It was kind of like a blooper reel. And there was a chef, he was talking in the kitchen and he was explaining things, and he went to go test to see if the pan was hot. Now he knows he started the fire. He knows he put the pan on top of the fire. The guy reached over, put his fingers on the pan to test to see how hot it was. Now you are a chef. You went to school. You have a show where people come to you to learn how to do things in the kitchen, and you touched the pan with your hand. And here we are. We know the Bible, but do we obey it? Does you no good just to know it? You know, I've talked about this before. Well, what's the difference between preachers that just preach on doctrine and preachers that just preach on how to live? Well, there's no real difference in my opinion. You need both. The doctrine is there to teach you how to live. Am I right? How am I supposed to behave in church? Doctrine tells us. How am I supposed to behave at home? Doctrine tells me. What's my relationship supposed to be with God? Doctrine tells me these things. It does you no good to know them if you don't do it. Now that doesn't mean don't know them. Know them and do them. What's wisdom? Taking knowledge, putting them to work. That's what we ought to do. We need both. Because you won't live very long in a Christian walk. You won't have a very long Christian walk if you do not practice Bible doctrine. You need it. It'll be a hard life without it. So we need to remove anything that hinders us. And in the process, we need to build the right scenario for passion to take over in our lives. You know what? When my wife and I spend more time with each other, guess what? The relationship gets better. If we get to be too busy and we're going to bed at different times, and okay, you do this and I'll do that, okay, break, and that's the furthest extent of our conversation, guess what happens to the relationship? It's harder, isn't it? Now, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. It gets harder. All right? And if you're not careful, by the time the kids leave the house, what happens? It's just you and one other stranger living in the house. Got to put the time in. If you're not spending time with the Lord in reading and prayer and study and all the things that make up spiritual fitness, guess what? Your passion's not going to be very strong with Him. You're going to be more prone to temptation, more prone to distractibility. Why? Because all of your focus is on the smaller, the more piddly things of life. Things that you can't even handle without Him. But you feel like you've got to let go of Him to handle it. You know, just like Melody, we'll go through stairs and she reaches that sweet little hand back to me. Why? Because she knows she can't do those stairs yet all by herself. So here comes Daddy, grabs that hand, and goes down the stairs. Some of us, we're letting go of God so we can handle the things that we can't handle without Him. And that makes no sense to me. Listen, I can't bring God into this because it'll just make Him worse. I can't take God to the workplace. I can't take the Lord to the family thing. I can't talk about this in this situation or that. You'd better. You need Him. You need Him. And what will your desire be? What will your strength or your passion be in serving Him if you are not spending time with Him? You need the time. You need to be benefiting from that time. Not just saying, well, I prayed an hour today. Yeah, what'd you talk about? Tell me. Well, I read 5 chapters today. That's amazing. Let's talk a little bit about what you read. You know, when I was a kid and we'd do some reading, there was a test that you'd have to do right after the book to prove you read it. We had this cool little reading program, and you read a book, you take a test, you get points and prizes and things. You always take that test. I love that test. Most of us sometimes, I'll be careful with how I say this, but if you're reading the Bible and you're sitting there and you can't really comprehend or think back to what you read, you might want to consider doing it again. You might want to consider going back to it. Because you need whatever that was. You need not just the time, but you need the benefits of God's presence in your life. Now, I like how Joseph handled this. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now here's the thing. There's a lot of different ways that you could handle this kind of enticement. No, stop. Now listen, I'm going to go over there. You behave yourself, all right? What does that do? Door's wide open. All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. To get this sin out of my life, I'm going to do 5 today, 3 tomorrow, 2 next week, and then the week after that, we'll be down to 1, and then after that, we'll just wean ourselves off. No, you cut sin right out. You cut sin right out. Lord, forgive me. Give me the strength to beat this. Give me the wisdom and knowledge to beat this. And then you go into the fight and start beating this. That's what you got to do. Stop. This isn't a game here. Sin has lasting effects. It'll not just hurt you, but it'll hurt everyone around you, depending on what that sin is. We need to be serious with it. There's another response that you could do where he just kind of slips out and goes, now stop. And he goes about his work. And you know what she would do? She'd peck at him. Joseph, come get your coat. Come on. And he'd be working while that's going on in his ear. Don't play with temptation. Sure, you could beat the sin, but if you hang around the temptation enough, guess what? You'll break. What did he do? He left the garment behind. He fled. He ran from her. Right? And not just ran, but he got him out. He ran all the way out the door, got out of there. I'm not in this house, man. I mean, think about it. The Bible gives us some context here as to what was going on. She sent away all the men of the house. I'm sitting there trying to imagine how long it took Joseph to realize he was in trouble. Well, where's so-and-so? Why is everybody running late today? Where's everybody at? This is ridiculous. Now, I told everybody what their jobs were. Things aren't getting done. And all of a sudden, Joseph, oh, I know what's going on. He was ready to shake his way out of that temptation, to shake his way away from that and flee from it. With all the temptation on earth that we have, we need to be those that run. The Bible does not say, debate with the devil and he will flee with you. The Bible does not say, have a strongly worded discussion. Not hear him out. And if you can say the right words, he will flee from you. What does the Bible say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. It is not a passive thing. One of the things my pastor took some of us younger men aside, and he taught us that one of the biggest issues that you see with men in the Bible, and you see it today, is men being passive where they should not be passive. When Joseph was put under temptation, he was not passive. He was active. He got out of there. I'm not going to do it. Right? If you don't, that old adage, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Listen, if all you've got is something sinful and foolish to say, keep your mouth shut about that. Right? You think about that. Well, we'll see that among people nowadays. Two people passing each other in the store, they'll bump into each other. And somebody's got to say something. Just don't. Didn't take anything from you. What are you really going to win back from them anyway? You know, one of the funny things is I moved up here and y'all were warning me, don't go over here, don't go over there. Here's the Walmart over here, but you got to be careful. You guys got to understand where I came from. It's nothing to see, come out of the Walmart, see someone getting tased in the parking lot. Right? We grew up in an area, man. We had an area, especially down there in Southgate. We had some people and they didn't know how to act. You know what? It's not worth the trouble. It's not worth the fight. Soft answer is always a good answer. Soft answer is always a good answer. Well, hold on. Well, what if I've got a really good reason? My kids will tell you, one of my Hall of Fame sermons that I preach in the house, there is never a good time to do the wrong thing. Never a good time to do the wrong thing. Well, what if this happens? I had to do the wrong thing because this, that. No. Sin is sin, no matter what your circumstance was. I had to. She had me by the garment. She was going to, who knows what she was going to say to Potiphar. She would have made things up. I had to. No. Listen, God's plans are absolute. I firmly believe that God would have gotten Joseph where he needed Joseph to be no matter what. However, Joseph had to go through it the way that he went through it for it to happen by God. It would have happened one way or the other. Either Potiphar would have found out that he did some mischief, or Potiphar would have just heard the accusation that he did some mischief. Either way, Joseph was going to the next step in God's timeline. Either way, you might as well go with a clean conscience. Might as well go right in God's eyes. And listen, that is the choice that we have. We need an intensity behind what we're doing, to where it doesn't matter what the temptation is, it doesn't matter what the bother is, we are willing to put on our running shoes and flee and get as far away from it as possible. Intensity involves the amount of pressure or power behind something. This does not involve necessarily emotion. We need to be able to make a change in our lives with a good amount of intensity. Not a manic energy, but a measured and structured amount of response. Well, I just don't feel like it. It's not about what we feel. It's about what needs to be done. Sometimes you don't feel like doing the dishes while you're doing the dishes, do you? But what do? You finish the dishes. It's the same concept with serving the Lord and getting away from sin. You don't feel like it, but you need to. So you do it. This is what I'm going to do. We don't need to go nuts and be violent and make ourselves look insane. We've just got to handle our business and handle our business thoroughly. Right? We need a certain intensity to it. I'm not going to play around. I'm not going to make concessions or compromises. I'm going to stand by what God told me to do, and I'm going to do it to the fullness of my ability. Starts off, as we saw with Joseph. Well, how did he start this thing off with? A no. What happened after no? Several more no's. How many? Every one it took to keep this sin out of his life. And then finally, when push came to shove, he ran from it. We build consistency. I say no, I mean no, I'm going to keep saying no, and that's what's going to happen. No. From consistency, what do we build? We build frequency. Frequency. Joseph did not start honoring God here. There was something that God had seen in Joseph. There was something that God had built into Joseph that God used to put to kind of fix a lot of things. So it had to be Joseph going through all these things. But Joseph had a thing about himself and honoring God long before he was in Potiphar's house. He honored God long before. We need a life of frequent obeying the Lord. Of constant obeying the Lord. Of consistent obeying the Lord. Because sometimes one day there's going to be a temptation that comes that's bigger than all the others. And we need to be strong enough to do it. We need to be strong enough to handle it. There's a picture I have on my phone. I think it was a video that we took for work. And they were talking, I think it was for Father's Day. Take a picture of you and your kids or do a funny video of you and your kids doing different things. And mine was exercise because, of course. And what I did is I had Xander. I think I had Xander on my back. I had Caspian in this hand and Gideon in the other. And I just started, you know, sitting there, I was like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. Danielle, you take this video. I'm going to start doing squats with them, just holding them. You know, if I would have kept that up, I probably could do all four of them right now. But that idea terrifies me. Look at them. This was like 3 years ago. Look at them today. I don't think I could do it. Eventually, there's going to come a temptation your way that's bigger than all the others. It's bigger than any weight you've lifted before. And if you are not consistent and you're not frequent in your practicing of obedience, if you do not have that desire, right, that vehement desire, that temptation will take you. Why? Why? Well, doesn't the Bible say that God will not put us into temptation, that he would not give us a way out of? It says that exactly. But you know what we also need to understand? You won't look for a way out. The problem will not be in God. The problem will not be in his ability to deliver for you from it. The problem is he'll say, come on, and you'll say, no. I want to stay with this. I want to check this out. I want to see what's going on here. So we start off, if you're struggling, if you're backslidden, if you ain't got anything right in your life, you start off small. You cut the things out, you ask for forgiveness, and we start at square one. I'm going to obey him in everything that I do today. What about tomorrow? I'm going to wake up in the morning and everything I do, every decision I make, will honor and obey him then. And day by day, week by week, month by month, we build up. We get better. We become more aware of temptation, more aware of things acting on us, more aware of our own frailties and weaknesses and where our own desires betray us as we go up and we sign up and we show up to this fight every day. We start off small, we build up. And we find balance in the frequency. We see that as we obey the Lord, we are encouraged. We take that encouragement, and what do? We serve the Lord harder. We do more. It's not just about obedience now, where it comes down to sin. Now it's about obedience and service, obedience and closeness, right? All of a sudden, these desires, these convictions, they bring us closer and closer and closer to the Lord. And we find happiness, and we find peace. And we lose our anxieties, and we lose our frustrations. We lose our short tempers. Why? Because every day we have worked closer. We work to get closer and closer to the Lord. Well, after you have frequency, it's easy. Build fervency. Build fervency. I'll close with this. I've got one of my favorite things I own. And I tell you what, I think everybody ought to have one. I've got a punching bag in my basement. And I've got exercises that I do with the punching bag in that basement. Right? Now, don't ask me to punch you. It might tickle. Right? But the exercises that I do with it, they start off small. Tap, 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 tap. And then they grow up. And then I've got another 3 whole minutes of just smacking at the thing. And then I've got other things that I'll do. You do a lap this way, do a lap that way. Tap, 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 tap. Do a squat. Pop, 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 pop. You build up. And all of a sudden, you know what I realized? It wasn't so hard. Once I got the frequency right, it wasn't so hard for me to put a little, you know, a little bit more to it. And then after a while, it's just natural that you want to do what? Put a little more into it, right? Pepper it a little bit harder. And then you get to the point where you're comfortable and it works you out real good. And you go sit down in the chair and you go, oh boy, I'm glad I did that. Well, hey, guess what? When it comes down to obeying the Lord, serving Him, and following after these vehement desires that the Holy Spirit puts into us through conviction, guess what? You start off, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get the sin out of my life. Tap, 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 tap. I'm going to get that Bible open every morning. You know what? I could do a little bit more at night, too. You know, I could do a little bit more at night. Here we go. That's what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, you build up the frequency. We're doing things more often. My attendance has improved. My study has improved. My prayer life has improved. Everything's getting better. Now what do? Now we hit harder. We hit harder. I'm going to get more chapters in today. This is good. Lord really blessed me with this. I got lost in this text, and before I knew it, I blew out the end of where I was supposed to stop. I just kept going. I got into this thing. Right? And oh yeah, I was there at the store and I was having a conversation with somebody. And you know, I got tracked out and we were talking. And I invited him to church with us. I gave him the gospel. And that was fun for me. I liked that. So guess what? When I go back out there again and I see somebody at the gas station over here, here you go. You get excited and the fervency builds up. The excitement builds up. And all of a sudden, that piddly little desire that started off with conviction has grown into this mountain of a fighter that you are. But if you don't chase the desire, you don't feed that desire, it'll never become a vehement one. It'll become a passing desire, a dream. God gives you everything you need to take a small desire and turn it into a vehement desire and go from that to a mission accomplished kind of situation. Falls back on us to take what the Holy Spirit gives us in conviction and turn it in to momentum. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for your watch care over us. Lord, that you not only show us the way, but you give us knowledge and strength and wisdom to do these things. But Father, I pray that you protect us from getting complacent. You protect us from getting lazy. So that, Father, when conviction calls, we're ready to do the work. We're ready to put up the fight. Lord, we are ready to go the full distance of whatever it is that needs to be done, that we would serve you better. Father, help us not to be found weak. Help us not to be found with desires that are more like dreams. But Lord, help us to be the Christians, the soldiers that you've commanded us to be. Lord, I pray that when conviction hits, it hits hard. And the Lord, we take that desire and we feed it to where we get to the point to where we're in proper obedience to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. 1:16.